So this is Connections Over Coffee. So we're just chatting. Carmela actually got some medication to help her allergies, and we were just saying how important that is. Gosh, I can remember when I was at the salon, front and center. I had to be there, and I had all these appointments. And so I would wake up one morning, and sometimes maybe I wasn't feeling so well, and then I'd look at my appointment book, and I would think, I have to move 10 people to another day and another time.
It's,
How easy is that? Sometimes it was just easier to just go to work, even if I didn't feel like it. And then I would be very careful because if I did have some sort of a virus, I didn't want to spread the cheer, So then I'd have to be very careful, but I was always sanitizing, because being in the salon industry, and I would sanitize my hands with alcohol between every client. I would sanitize my desk, my tools, my drill, I just spray my hands, and then I always had this whole stack of clean towels. I'd go through an entire container of towels in a day, and an entire spray bottle of stronger, not the 70%, the 90% alcohol, which is what was approved by the board for sanitation. I'm surprised my hands didn't fall off at the end of
I
the
was going to
week.
say, after all of that,
Oh, they would be so dry because I was just constantly spraying, pure 90% alcohol right onto my hands. But you know what? I hardly ever got sick the entire time I was at the salon, and I think it was because I sanitized everything so well. I just very rarely even got sick, but every so often, boy, the sinuses would flare up because of the allergies. And right now, where we live, they're across the street from us. And trust me, I never want to take down a perfectly good tree, but we have a cottonwood
That's
across
what's
the road
really
from
bad.
us. And it was so bad this year. It looked like it had snowed in our yard. And my eyes were watery and itchy. And, and the guest would come and say, I didn't have a cough, but now I have a cough. I'm really not sick. And I'm thinking, I know it's our cottonwood friend across the road from us, and it's not my tree, or it'd be gone. And I hate to cut down a tree, but that one would be gone because it is so bad. Anyway, I told Mark, I said, I did a little research the other day, and a cottonwood spits out 32,000 seeds. And Mark says, yeah, and 22,000 of them are in our yard.
Yeah, the doctor said those are the worst. Cottonwood is really bad this year. He said,
Yes.
it's nothing but snow. I said, yeah, but it's just not the cold snow. It's the fuzzy, fluffy snow.
Yeah, but our yard, I mean, Mark goes, I think we're going to get a 6-inch accumulation today. I mean, it was bad. People would drive, and we're directly across the road, so we get it all. It's just us and a couple of neighbors, and the rest of the neighborhood was green. It was just like these three properties across the road from this tree were white. And here we're trying to make our place look really nice because we're a bed and breakfast, and we're, and I know that the guest had to think, what happened to this house? But anyway, it's starting to go away now. The couple of rains have washed the seed down into the grass. We've mowed the grass a few times. So now, and the tree has stopped. It's finally done with spitting the seeds, or pretty well done. And so we're starting to look a little more normal. And my sinuses cleared right up. So I think
Good.
it was that
Good.
cottonwood tree.
If I could just mention, Kathy, and this is just information, but Shackley actually offers a product. It's with alfalfa, and folks that have used it have said that their allergies have gone away. One of my friends who lives in North Dakota was up there with all the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. And
Yes.
she said her neighbors were really bothered by the smoke, getting watery eyes and sore throat. But she said with her being on the Shackley alfalfa, she didn't have any effects.
Good to know. Interesting. So Carmela, make a note of that. That might be
I'm
helpful
doing
for you.
that now.
Yeah. That might be very helpful. Carmela ended up going to the doctor and getting a prescription. So I mean, I get it. And anytime I can avoid, anytime I can avoid medication, I do, because I, you know, again, you're putting something in your body that's been man-made, and thank goodness that there's all of those options out there. So I'm not against that at all. But my first choice is to try to do something on the natural, organic level. That's before
I did for two, for about, it was going on for about 2 weeks. And my poor husband, because he's not the one to take care of, you know, me, like I take care of people, you know, and I don't think he could handle, he doesn't like it when I'm sick, you know, cause he's like, I don't know what to do. But I was, diffusing like breathe oils, like some of my essential oils, which it helped me a little bit, you know, as far as like sleeping, because I really was having trouble sleeping because I was congested. I couldn't sleep flat in bed. So I had to sleep in the recliner for like 2 weeks, because if I was flat, I felt like I was choking because I was coughing so much because of the drainage. And I made tea and different things like that, and it was just horrible.
Aww.
Yeah, so I was I made a tea. Jay told me about a tea. She made it for me. It had turmeric in it, like a half a teaspoon of turmeric, I think a half a teaspoon of ginger. She added lemon to it, like lemon juice, like from the lemon, honey and water, but it was hot. And she said I had to drink it down almost in one gulp, you know, as much, as hot as I could take it. And then she said it would open myself up. Then I was like steaming my head in a water, a bowl of water with rosemary essential oil and breathe. And she's like, I felt like I was doing all these things because I'm like rubbing, and then it would work for a while. And then I would feel drainage coming down, but I was still coughing and my chest, it was just horrible. Finally, I'm just like, he's like, just call the doctor, just call. And the Flonase, I mean, I don't like having to take, you know, medical. I like things more natural, but the first day, once I used that and took a Zyrtec, I mean, I was like, it's dry. Oh my gosh, where's my cough? You know, cause here I was coughing constantly. I didn't even go to church because I get embarrassed if I have to cough or blow my nose, because I feel like all of a sudden everything gets quiet and all the attention's on me, even though that doesn't happen. It's in my psyche. So I'm like, I'll just stay home and watch online.
I get it. I get it. Now, a doctor told me one time, the reason that she liked the Flonase as a spray is because at one point, and I don't know if you guys remember this, Flonase was a prescription. And it's only in the last couple, 3 years that you can buy it over the counter. Now it's still kind of pricey, but it was a prescription at one time. And a doctor told me once that the reason she liked Flonase when you're really having a flare up is because it puts the steroid right where you need it. Whereas if you're taking something orally, you have to wait for it to get into your bloodstream and, you know, travel around and finally get there. And she said the Flonase, you're putting it right where you need it. And you're not actually putting it in those levels into your bloodstream that it can make a difference in your sinuses. She said, you're actually putting it right in your sinuses. And that's why that was her, go-to treatment was the Flonase, because she said that's what is going to give you some immediate relief. And the rest of your body doesn't have to try to deal with the steroids.
So you can get it without a prescription now?
The Flonase, yes, you can buy Flonase. Is yours a green bottle?
Well, he gave me a prescription of it.
But it, did yours come in a green?
It's like a brown bottle with like a, I can't even remember.
Yeah, you can buy it over the counter and it's got a green cap on it.
No, mine's kind of like this.
Now, is it a spray?
Yes.
Okay. You can buy. Now, the one over the counter may not be as strong. He may have prescribed you something stronger.
Yeah.
But you can buy it over the counter, and it comes in a tall, well, there's two sizes, a medium and a tall, and it comes with a green cap clear down over it, kind of a fluorescent green in my mind. And anyway, I always keep one of those in my bedside table. So if I get a super big flare up, you know, I have the Flonase, but it's like $35. It's kind of pricey compared to the other nose. You know, you can buy all those Afrin and all those kind of nose sprays for, you know, $8. And then the Flonase is like 35 and you're like, I'm not buying that. That's like, but the difference is it has the steroid in it and it's now over the counter. So, but the doctor told me, she said, if you kind of just know that, and you have a big flare up and you just go buy some Flonase, she said, you don't have to make a doctor's appointment if you know that's, you know, what's going on there in your sinuses. And she said, it is a milder, but it is a prescription. It had been a prescription strength at one time. So anyway, so there's that.
Good to know.
Yeah. So anyway, I love to do the organic, you know, healthy stuff first, give that a try. So kudos to you for trying all of that, but sorry you felt miserable for 2 whole weeks before you got some relief, because your world is like mine. You know, when you're miserable, a lot of people are kind of dependent on you. So you hate to be, and plus you like to be busy like I do, so you hate to be down. But
I know, and you can tell I was down because I wasn't doing too much, and then all of a sudden I'm getting these calls. So tonight this afternoon I'm going to go finish a balloon arch for Father's Day for church.
Okay.
I did all the balloons last night, but I just need to put them up. I had a meeting, so I'm like, I don't have time to do this, so, and it won't take me long. And then Jade wants me to go to Marion Sunday for Father's Day because she wants to cook out for my dad.
Which
is nice, but then part of me, I'm like, well, can't grandpa just come to Lima, because I really don't feel like driving because I'm already going to be there on Saturday, and I have to go early because your niece Danny, she asked me to come and decorate, and I'm like, you guys need to stop waiting till the last minute to ask me to do something. And I go, or I need to start telling you no, but then I feel bad if I say no.
I know, doggone it.
So then she just texted me. It's like, can you call me when you're done? And I'm going, oh gosh, what do you guys need now? You know?
Now, is there any way you can just stay over and not do all the driving back to Lima and back down the next day?
I wish I could, but since I was gone from church and I had missed like 3 weeks, and it's Father's Day, I'm doing the sound system, so okay. And giving the guys a break because I'm the only female back there. So I've already set up, and I go, I would if I didn't have to be there. So
I get it. Because this is the Sunday that you're front and center on your duties there. And so, you need a clone.
I know, I do. I'm like, but you know, we still haven't celebrated Mother's Day together because she had just finished her test. So I didn't see her at Mother's Day. I mean, she called me, but maybe when you come in town from, you know, vacation, but I was sick. We can go out to dinner. I can take you out. And we haven't even done that yet. So I'm like, oh, it's okay. Maybe one day we'll get together.
Do you have a big church, Carmela?
It's a medium-sized type church. So, and we have new pastors. They came in October. And okay. So I did their son's graduation party probably 3 weeks ago. And they're still thanking me for that. And I'm like, that was nothing, you know, but it's about a medium size and it's 2 minutes from my house. So that makes it even, I don't know, good, bad, because now it's like, well, since you're 2 minutes away and you've timed yourself and we know you can get here in 2 minutes, but they're having a cookout for the men and it's the first time. So they're having hot dogs, hamburgers and stuff. And I decorated for that last night as well. So that's done. Mm-hmm. I did the table coverings and everything. Mm-hmm. So I've pretty much I have everything done. And thinking of that, Kathy, I came up, I know you gave me a suggestion in the line. So where's my notes? I was talking to one of my daughters and I said, how about living the easier life with Carmela? The easy life. And she's like, that is totally you, because I had said something else. And she goes, well, you're kind of contradicting yourself, because I wrote down everything that I do.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, Carmela, to put everything together, what all do you do? How do you help others? And, it's just like boom, boom, boom. Because I'm some friends of mine, they're pastors and they're younger. They do this thing called Shine the Light, and they've been doing it for 6 years in town. And basically, they try to get volunteers, they get donations and things. They give out backpacks and things back to school, and they do it in August for kids and people that are less fortunate. And they have like they use this church parking lot that they partner with. So I helped them last year because I'm friends with the wife, and she's not very organized when it comes. She's literally all over the place. So last night they've had two meetings. Well, they were supposed to have. I've showed up for both meetings. They didn't take place.
Oh
Oh, because the one pastor that they talked to, he forgot. And it's like, oh, sorry you came all this way. Well, then there was supposed to be one this past Tuesday, and I was supposed to, be there, or Wednesday, I think. And they said, we're going to have it at 8 o'clock if it's not too late. And I'm like, okay. I stayed in town at the office till almost 8 o'clock, because I didn't want to drive all the way home, because I live like 15 minutes outside the city to drive back into town. I get there. Oh, were we supposed to have a meeting? I got a text and you told me. So now
no.
I called her last night and I says, listen, do you have anything together? We need to get this stuff organized. And she goes, I know you're on top of it. I says, have you called? Have you secured like the inflatables? Do you have the porta pots? Well, no, not yet. I says, well, then you need to give me a list or something, and you need to send out letters. There's a time frame. You need to do all this. And the date for this event is August 12th.
Oh, that's not a lot of time.
No.
Not really. I mean, you've got June, July, and a couple of weeks in August. So you're down
we're
to under
yeah, we're
10
in the
people.
middle of June. We're almost towards the end of June. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I'm telling her, I'm like, a friend of mine is hosting a birthday party for myself and her husband on that same day. And I said, so she's already got that in the works. I said, so I may show up, but I'll have to leave. Her husband and I have the same birthday, same year, only he was born in Nigeria and I was born in the United States, but he claims to be the older brother.
Okay,
I will take that if I'm young, even by 2 minutes.
Well,
Hi,
I want to
Debbie.
jump. Yes, hi,
Hi.
Debbie. Welcome. I want to jump in and just say for those that are listening in, what we're about. This is Connections Over Coffee. It's our time to rise. We are an international virtual meetup where we simply network and develop relationships. There's no pressure, there's no sales, there's no feeling inadequate. Meet on Zoom monthly, and while many of our meetups will have an entrepreneurial focus, everyone is welcome to come and check us out. So welcome, we're glad you're here. And what Carmela was referring to, for those of you that may not know, she was trying to come up with a name so that she could start blogging and whatever lane she wants to go down. And she was trying to come up with what would encompass all that she does. And that's tough because Carmela wears a lot of hats. And so that's a tough one. And so give us some options. What has come up so far that you might use? What phrase or words? What do you have so far?
I thought about peaceful processes, and then I came up with harmonious helper. And what was my other one? I have a lot here. Calming coordination. And then mindful management. And then, of course, the easy life and easy living with Carmela.
I like the easy living with Carmela.
It's so easy. I do, because it's like, this is me. The other one seems so boxy, and I was trying to, and I'm like, maybe I need to sound more profound, but easy, that's me, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think to attract, a larger audience, I think you need to sound less professional, because what happens, and I don't know how you gals feel about this, but sometimes when I tap in to somebody's website or even a Facebook post, if it looks like it came from a big corporation, I have a tendency to keep scrolling, because I think that they're not going to get me. They're just going to try to sell me something. It's not building the relationship. And I think that's the key, is that you want to build the relationships, because at the end of the day, the sales will take care of itself at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The income will take care of itself. It's about building the relationships and serving and being available and doing all those things. And then the money just happens, you know. The money will take care of itself. If you take care of your clients will take care of you. They may not realize that they are, but if you take care of your clients will take care of you. So at that point, now again, for Carmela, listen, with boundaries.
You know me so well.
Boundaries, Carmela, with boundaries. So I like the easy living with Carmela. And then from there, you can podcast anything, you can blog anything, you can add to your website. It takes all of the rails away for what you want to be interested in and where you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen is over time, and Debbie, I know, has heard me say this a lot, is that you have to start first and clarity comes second. A lot of people want to get clarity first before they start. You have to start and then you get more clear. And so as you start putting your products and services together, you'll find that lane, however broad that lane might be or how narrow it might be, you'll find that lane where it'll be the right lane for you. And that title still works. See, it works no matter what lane you end up being your specialty. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. It really does. Because, you know, you can add, as of this week, you could add fundraiser organizer to this list.
Yes, there you go.
I had a suggestion I gave to the director at the Alzheimer's Association. And I said, have you guys ever thought about maybe doing a purse bingo? Oh, that's a great idea. Let me talk to a couple of ladies and get back with you. You know, the marketing manager. She texts me back yesterday. Oh my God, Carmela, she loved it. So when are you going to start this and organize it? I'm going, it was just a suggestion. So they're like, do you want to do it next month? No, try next year if I'm going to do this and head it up. So I'm like, fundraiser person now. So yeah, that's been added as of this week. So
I get it.
Do it at Christmas time. It'll be great gifts.
Oh, that's a great idea, Debbie. I didn't think about that. That still gives me plenty of time to get donations and stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Don't do it the weekend after Thanksgiving, because usually people are, well, I don't know. They're
starting to think about Christmas.
They're getting in the mood.
Yeah,
they are. And they're not apt to, a lot of people aren't going out to the stores anymore. They're doing all their shopping online. So that would be exactly. But I think that's a good idea. Doing it around then will increase. See, there it is. It'll increase your revenue because you'll have great sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea, Debbie. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you so very much.
Now, that does not mean I'm going to help.
I thought I was going to call you. I was getting ready to write your name down on my list as volunteers.
So Carmela's been working on her overarching umbrella of a title so that she can kind of get started going down that path of kind of getting all of these different lanes that she's in kind of organized so that she can actually kind of compartmentalize, I think is what I'm hearing her do. Because what happens is when everything is coming at her from all these different directions, it gets a little crazy. And then of course, because of her personality, and again, don't let me put words in your mouth, Carmela, but the way I see her is that because of her personality, it really bothers her if she drops the ball on something or can't do something or can't measure up to what her expectations are for herself. And so I think by her putting together and starting down that path of organizing what she wants her business to look like, see, then she can say yes or no if it fits in her lane, and it's going to be easier for her to measure up for her within her own mind of what she's doing for folks. And by doing that, she's going to discover what her passion is. And that's where she's going to end up spending more and more of her focus. And she's going to start trimming some of that other stuff off. And she'll just, you know, now, and this is for you, Carmela, you don't have to say yes. Sometimes you can say, I think that's a wonderful idea. Let me connect you with someone that knows more about that than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good way to still say yes by giving a referral. Instead of you saying, yes, I'll go do that. You know, you can say, yes, let me connect you with somebody that knows more about that than I do, that can help you out. So anyway, and that'll keep you more sane. So you don't feel like you have so much going on. So
hey,
anyway,
Carmela,
yeah, Carmela, go ahead, yes.
I changed my mind. I think that would be fun. And I've already got here personally donations for you to use for your first auction. And you'll just have to come up with the criteria that you want to use. So I can help you to some degree with donations and that. So yep, no problem.
Very nice. I love it. I love it. So in my world this week or the past couple of weeks or since we've talked since last month, I am all entrenched in writing. And so I had two writing projects that are going on. Number one, my first writing project is I've decided to jump on board a second time with Patricia and Wendy, who are doing a collaborative book project. And they did, for those of you that recall, they did my book project back in September of last year. And the book was called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. And it was a collaborative effort. So there were 20 authors in that book. And so what happened is more and more people just wanted to jump in and they wanted to include them. So the book just kept getting bigger and bigger. But with 20 of us, what happens in a collaborative project like that is all 20 authors are pushing the cart in the same direction. And so with that number of folks all doing their small part, that book actually launched September 6th of last year, number one in 13 categories on Amazon. And wow. So all of us then became number one best-selling authors on Amazon. And we got the little logo, the little gold seal that says we're, you know, number one best-selling author. And once you get a number one best-selling author logo, you can use it from then on, even if other books don't hit number one, because you are a number one best-selling author. May not be the current book, but you are a number one. So you can put that on your author's page, which does help in the marketing. And you're allowed to put that over on your website or wherever you want to put that. So anyhow, long story short, I did that one and it was a great experience for me. And then they came up with a second book called Becoming You. And I did not jump into that one. And quite frankly, it was because I had financed myself on the first one. And Debbie knows my strategy here. I use a 0% credit card. And like for 12 months or whatever. And that way I can spread the cost of whatever I want to do out for 12 months. It's like free money because I'm not paying any interest. And so I'm using somebody else's money and I can just spread that out for 12 months. So that's what I did. And when the second book, Becoming You, came out, I hadn't paid off the first one yet. So I said, okay, I'm not going to jump in this second one and layer even more payments. Debbie, go ahead.
Is that the one Sherry did?
Yes, Sherry jumped into the Becoming You.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I liked the topic and I liked everything about it, but I just financially wasn't ready to jump in again. But then they're coming out with a third one. And you know how things always kind of work out for the best. You know, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get into the Becoming You. Yeah, the third one is called, and you gals aren't going to believe this, it's called Impact Driven Entrepreneur.
Oh, wow.
And so that fits me so much better than the Becoming You. Not that the Becoming You would have been a bad topic, but the impact driven entrepreneur fits me better, because right here in this call, one of the things that we talk about is giving back. And one of the ways that I give back, and it goes right in with the description. If you look up our Connections Over Coffee on meetup.com or on Facebook, you'll see that one of the things is the B1G1 group and Our Time to Rise. And I was privileged to be able to write the foreword for the book, Our Time to Rise. And the B1G1 organization gives funding around the world. And as a matter of fact, right on my homepage of my website, for those that are listening, kathybenner.com, you can scroll down my homepage and you can actually click through on the giving section. And it shows you a world map of how many impacts I have made around the world. Now, how many websites have that? How many folks actually are doing that? And so when the third book came along called Impact Driven Entrepreneur, it just so fits what I'm doing and how I think and what I believe. And so I am so excited to be a part of this. And so in the last 4 weeks since we've talked on here, I have written my entire section and sent it off to Patricia and Wendy. And Patricia is the editor. And so she sent it back with like five, you know, comments in the margin. And my first reaction, and Debbie, you'll get, because Debbie is also writing. So my first reaction when my email came in is I was like, five? What? Five things wrong? I thought I was better than that, you know? And so, but of course, I want to be open. I'm like, she's the editor. She's been doing this a long time. And so I scrolled through the five things. There were only two that she felt were a little repetitive. And she said, you might want to reword these two different paragraphs or eliminate them altogether. And when I just eliminate, and I was a little over on my word count anyway, she wanted between 3,000 and 3,500. And I came in at 37. And she said that she could still make that fit in the book. But if I just eliminated those two paragraphs that in her mind were repetitive, and once I read through eliminating them, it did flow better, puts me into the correct word count. The other three comments were good. Like, oh, this was a great answer to this question. Oh, this is a great way you worded. So it was three kudos and only two red marks from the teacher. So
that's not too bad.
So I felt better about myself after that. But my first reaction was, what? So anyway, but the whole impact-driven entrepreneur just fits what I'm doing. Not that it fits maybe better than the Becoming You, because I could have written to that topic as well, but this is more in my lane. And so, you know, things just kind of work out that way. So I jumped on board, you know, I did another, you know, credit card for 12 months, free money, you know, borrowing the bank's money for 12 months. Isn't that fun? It's 0% interest. I mean, you know, now they're hoping that I don't keep up my payments and that I have to pay them. And that's what the credit card company is hoping. But I am so organized when it comes to my finances that as soon as I do something like that, where I'm using a 0% credit card, I just go right to my bill pay and plug it in. And if I get 12 months, I plug in 11 payments, because I definitely want to be inside the 12 months. I don't want that last payment to kind of hit late. For any reason, because in the teeny tiny fine print on those, it says that if any payment is late, they have the right to charge you all the interest. And they're hoping, you know, I mean, that, you know, they're making money. I mean, it's a money thing for them. It's income for them. And so, you know, that's part of their marketing, is they're offering it. And if you just play by the rules and make sure that you don't get outside the the boundaries, you know, it's beneficial to you to use the bank's money instead of your own money. So anyhow, I jumped on board. I wrote that. It's out. It's been edited. I now need to, you know, clean up what she wants me to clean up and send it back to her. And so I'm kind of done unless she needs something more from me for that project. And so now I just wait for, and Debbie's heard this analogy before, is that I just wait for that train to go down the track, you know, because she's got these authors, there's still some coming on, there's still some openings for folks to come on. And so, and of course they haven't even written their chapter yet. And then her job, once she gets everyone's input, is that she has to make all of these chapters flow together like a book. And she has to decide what order she's going to put the chapters in and who's going to be placed where, so that it flows, so that the book itself doesn't look disconnected between all these different authors that are submitting. And so she's got a pretty big job, but the difference is, of course, she's getting paid by every single one of the authors. So she's getting paid well to do this job, even though it's a big job. And so my hat is off to her for putting the project together. It's Wendy Bloom. It's her brainchild to do this in a collaborative effort. And what happens is, I suspect that we will come out as a number one bestseller again, because you've got more than one author pushing the cart in the right direction. So I can't wait to see. I don't know. I don't have a launch date yet. So I can't wait to see we haven't even designed a cover yet. Once she gets cover examples, all the authors get to vote as to which cover they like the best, and the most votes simply wins. And then all of the proceeds on selling these books go to a nonprofit. And so again, on the first book, the one that I did called to Speak, Lead, and Impact, everything goes to Habitat for Humanity. Well, again, that's right up my alley. Yep. Because of my real estate. And I'm like, well, I couldn't have picked a better organization. And so all the proceeds go there. Again, all the authors get to vote and collectively choose a nonprofit, which again, fits what I'm doing with my impact around the world. So that's the number one project. And then the second project that I'm doing, and I've told Mark for years that when I retire, I'm going to write, I want to write a mystery novel in my free time, right? I'm like Carmela, in my free time. So last week, it's been a whole week, I started, and I actually have kind of plotted out about the first third of the book. I don't know where my characters are going to take me yet. I don't know what they're going to do on what kind of trouble they're going to get into or how they're going to solve it yet. But my characters are already getting into some pickles and into some tight spots. And so I'll see how that plays out as I continue to write. And so for the last four mornings, I got up a little early and took the opportunity to write for an hour or two. And I have my first four chapters. So there you go. So that's what I've been doing. So Mark read it last night and he was like, oh, this is the end. He goes, I want to hear what happens. I said, I don't know yet. I said, I, and again, what I'm using, and I shared this with Debbie on another call, I'm using a software program called Trello, and it reminds me of the police crime board, you know, where they put all the pictures across the board and then they, you know, they say, okay, well, here's everybody that's involved in this crime. Let's try to work out the story on what happened here. And so Trello is a software program that has all those boards. And so when I get a plot idea, all I have to do is create a little card with that plot idea on it. And then I can click on that and I can scoot it over and drop it in any one of the boards. And so what I did just to kind of help is I put all of my characters on one board and they're all on a different card. And then I made a board for each chapter. And then I'm just kind of putting at the top of each, I'm titling it kind of what I want to be happening at that stage of the story. And so when you go in, and this is behind the scenes on writing a book, when you go in and research, if you're going to do, for example, a romance novel, when should the boy meet the girl? Well, it should be in the first chapter. They should meet. Now, they may not know yet that they're going to have a romantic relationship down the road in the book, but they should at least meet. You know, it's the stranger at the filling station, or it's the guy at the bookstore or whatever. So they should at least meet in the first chapter. And so I did that on my Trello board. I put boy meets girl, you know, in chapter one. And so now as those plot ideas come up, I can just jot them down on a card, and then I can scoot them over into what chapter I think they should go in. And of course, they're totally movable as the story unfolds. I can just, so I had in chapter two, I had several things that plot ideas that I thought could happen between the boy and the girl. And then I realized that I hadn't, as I started writing, I hadn't character developed enough. And so I took all of those ideas and scooted them to chapter three. And I'll just keep scooting them and then work them in as the time is appropriate. And my characters will tell me when it's time. So so we'll see. Wow. We'll see how that works. So anyway, that's what I've been up to. This is brand new for me. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I just decided I'm going to jump in and get clarity. And of course, there's nothing like a good, healthy deadline. You know, having somebody that's expecting you to have something done on a project. And so Sandy Kachurik is my co-mod, like Carmela is my co-mod for this particular call. And Sandy is my co-mod for my Ohio Writers Guild. And she is having an actual writers conference the first weekend in August. And one of the things that's happening at this writers conference is that she has a couple of editors and publishers and authors that are speaking. And she's going to be doing a critique section on the Saturday night of her conference. And so everyone that's attending is bringing their first chapter of whatever they're writing. And someone, she's going to have a paid Audible author, you know, that reads for a living, read this chapter. It's going to sound like you're listening to an audiobook. And her panel then is going to dissect whatever they read. They're going to say what they felt was wrong with it, what they felt was right with it, what could be better. And so Sandy has given me a deadline that I need to submit my first chapter for the critique session. So a little bit of pressure there.
No pressure whatsoever.
Now, nobody's going to know who's writing it is. I mean, you know, unless somebody jumps up and cheers or they run from the room crying, nobody's going to know who the author was in the audience. And it's going to be a small, intimate group. And so you're going to know if there's, you know, 20 of us in the room that they're going to be reading, you know, the 20 submissions from that group. So, you know, one of those 20 people wrote that. Yeah. And so the hard part is, of course, you know, nobody in the room is going to know which one goes to which author, because they want this panel to be brutal. She wants the panel to just say, I hate this. This is not good writing or whatever. And I'm sure that they're going to, you know, kind of soften that up at the beginning. Like, don't take it too serious if they pull yours out and everything's wrong with it. But this is how you get better at writing. So you have to go into these critique sessions in the right mindset that it's okay, you know. And so the first lesson for me was when I got, you know, the edit back from Patricia, and I saw five things, and the first thing that happened is I felt disappointed in my writing. See, I was like, oh, she found five things wrong, really? Gosh, it's only 3,000 words. How in the world is there five things wrong and only 3,000 words? So now you can tell I'm a little apprehensive about what this might be at this conference. You know, I mean, they might decide that, you know, like, get the cane and hook her off stage. Her writing's terrible. So I don't know, but it's going to be a learning process for me, and I have to mentally be prepared to take my lumps. And just tell myself, this is so that I can get better. And I want them to be very critical. I want them to be critical about my writing, because again, books are business at the end of the day. The publishers only will sign on an author if they think that book is going to sell. So the fact that you're a published author just means you're a published author. It doesn't mean you have a book that's going to sell. And the publishers out there, they want to pick up books that are going to make money, because books are a business. And so if I'm going to write mystery And mine is in the cozy mystery romance genre. And for those of you that go, what does that mean? Just think that a Hallmark movie marries Murder, She Wrote.
That's up my alley. I'll read it.
Well, and that's a huge, huge audience for that genre. And it's called a cozy mystery romance because it doesn't get too graphic on the crime part, and it doesn't get too graphic on the romance part. So it's called a cozy mystery romance genre. And that's where I want to, that's where I want to write. Because, you know, I don't want all the gore and, you know, and the graphic scene of, you know, somebody killing somebody, you know, that's not entertainment to me. And so I'm more about the mystery of the crime, not of the crime itself. I'm more about the whodunit. And so that's why I want to stay in that genre of a cozy mystery romance where, you know, maybe there's a dead body somewhere. And now the rest of the book, you're trying to figure out what happened. What happened to that person? Did they die of natural causes? Did they get pushed off the balcony? You know, I mean, what really happened? But it's not about the scene of the dead body. You know, so does that make sense? Anyway, so that's where I want to write. And so we'll see. We'll see. It's new for me, and I'll get, like, again, I have to practice what I preach. I will get more clarity as I continue down that path. So that's where I am. All right, Diane, how about you? What's going on with you?
Summer has started. So my two kids are home from college this summer, so we're enjoying them. My business is going along. My husband's business is doing well. I might have mentioned that he owns a Cartridge World franchise, and he's actually absorbing some new customers at the end of this month. And he's also landed a nice account over in Dublin. So he's excited about that. But things are going well, and I'm happy to be here today. I'm always happy to hear from you, Kathy, to see what you're up to.
I'm always into something.
I know Shackley has launched a few new products this spring with Palmafera oil. So if you don't know, Palmafera is like the Osage orange apples that you see in the fall that fall off the trees. And they're really not a fruit that you can eat. So it's kind of like a wasted fruit, but they have discovered how to extract the oil, and they've used it now. This month, they've come out with men's grooming products, including a beard shampoo and also some body butter bars. So those are some new things that are rolling out from Shackley.
I love that. I love that. Now, have you actually tried the product yet, or is it not totally launched yet?
It just launched this month. And okay. I have to say, I have not tried those yet, but I want to.
Okay. It sounds wonderful. I mean, when you just describe it, it sounds wonderful. And so, so I'll have to make a note of that as well. I love that. Good. Now, where are you going? Where can we find you if you are out and about with your business? Are you doing trade shows? Are you doing expos? What's the best place to find you?
The best place to find me would be online. So I do have an online website and a 24/7 online store. And the website is PWS for personal website shackley.com/Diane Taylor. So it's just my name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. So for those listening, make a note. All right. Debbie, how about you? What do you have going on?
Good morning. Sorry, I was late.
You were taking notes. I could tell.
Yeah. it was interesting last night. I'm house sitting. So Lucy, the little Boston Terrier does not like thunder and lightning. So
she was like
my second hip all during the night. But FYI, do you guys realize we've had 4 inches of rain this week?
No, it was a lot. I know that.
Yep. Yep. I got Rick a really big rain gauge.
Okay.
For Christmas. So he put it out in the backyard, but it's where we can read it. And yeah, after last night's rain, yikes. But as far as what I'm doing is I'm keeping my head above water, because what I realize is I've got a lot going on, but yet I feel like I'm spinning my wheels and I got to slow down and I have to focus on my main things. And Melaleuca is like blowing my mind with everything that, you know, we have going on. And, but then again, you know, I have this blog that I'm trying to get started that, no, I've already started it. I just have to keep building it. And I was hoping this week I would get some things done, but I guess it's taking me a little longer to do each thing that I want to do. So I feel like I'm not getting a lot done, but yet I am. You know what I mean?
Nope, I get it.
Yeah. And so I just keep on going. And with the weather again not promising to go out into the pool, I have to I have to plant myself here in front of this computer and get stuff done. This happened to be my weekly, or my busy week. And to that, I've added at church a disciple deep dive. So, and that is homework, but it's only 10 weeks, but it's what I want to do to build. And it's been absolutely fascinating. And
you can kind of, as they say, kill two birds with one stone. You can kind of use what you're learning there and the homework that you're doing and incorporate that right into a blog post. Along with what you're doing on how this has impacted you and how, you know, what the lessons learned or whatever that you're now going to carry over into your businesses. And so it would make a wonderful blog post. And because that is part of your passion, is that whole faith lane of what you're doing, it's a good way to weave that together.
It is. That's true. Tuesday, of course, I guess I don't get out much and I don't travel enough around Ohio, but my Bible class decided to do a day trip and we went to the Clifton Mills restaurant. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this place is phenomenal.
Now, we're going to be right down the road at the Writer's Workshop right there in Yellow Springs.
Oh, geez, really?
That's going to be far. Right there. Yep, it's going to be right there is where the Writer's Workshop is. In August, first weekend in August.
That is cool. I did not, like I said, I've not been there. I haven't been that way. It's like, wow. I mean, it's new adventure. So I was just sitting here thinking, I could do a blog post on my website there about the mill, because. Mm-hmm. Who knows it's there? And who knows that it's the best spot to go to at Christmas time?
Yes.
I mean, we walked around and it's like, they never take the lights down. You know, the lights are always there. They just don't
turn them on until Christmas time. But
now the best thing, and I will, for those of you that are listening, I will tell you this, right around Thanksgiving is when they start doing their Christmas light show over there at Clifton Mill. And the perfect thing to do is to go where you're in the parking lot and you can walk over into their area, the fenced in area, before the lights come on, and you're standing there when the lights come on. The whole crowd just, it's one common gasp, because the thousands of lights, millions of lights that come on all at once, and that they've got the trains going and the little windmill going and everything comes on all at one time. And so it is something to see.
Mm-hmm. And I like that they have a nice little shelter type area for the manger scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even imagine what that looks like all lit up. So, and then as we were driving and coming back, I was taking note of the two antique malls that mm-hmm. are on 70. That's like, oh my gosh. And they're like buildings. Yes. It's not just one building. So
it's like a whole complex.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a day trip in itself to go through all of that.
Yes.
And you have to remember, I can't buy everything in the first building. I have three more to go. So, but then again, I don't know. It's just, I've been, so many things can go through your mind that, you know, everybody says to me, pick one. Oh man, I can't pick one. I can't do five, but I can do three. And I put them in perspective. What's first, second, and then third? And you know, just lots of times you think, oh my gosh, I don't have a day to devote to all this. Who says you have to do that? And I'm really finding that if I just set the timer, and I don't mean the timer sitting on your phone right next to you, because how easy is it to just reach over and turn it off, right? So I've learned that I have to set the timer in another room where I have to get up and go turn it off. And by the time you get back to your office, you go, okay, I guess I'm done with this today. And which is a very valuable lesson to learn. So I took some good notes, and I did look up that Becoming You has been published. It's on Amazon, and I love the cover of the face, the head. That is pretty darn cool. But it's the end of the month. You're getting to be the end of the month. It's like, okay, it's 6 months. 6 months down the road, we've got six more to go. What are you going to do with it, right? So,
so how is your book coming along? Because you started writing, and the goal was to do a chapter a month. So how are you doing with that?
Well, I finished chapter four.
Okay.
And I actually realized that chapter five, you described it earlier. Okay, I have to pick this stuff out, and I'm not ready for it yet. So I have to put it over here mm-hmm. for chapter six, maybe. But I haven't had a chance to look at Trello. Kind of forgot about it. I'm glad you brought it up. So that I can go in, I want to look at it and see what I can use to give me some clarity, you know. And
do you gals mind if I share my screen for a minute? Do you mind?
No.
Yep.
No. Nope.
You want to take a look at that real quick? I'll just give you a quick look here. This is my book right here. And this is what it looks like. So here is snippets of my storyline, and I can put them on cards. Here are my, all of my description of all my characters, and I found a picture online that meets my description.
Wow.
Okay.
So there's all of my characters. So then when I start to write about John, I can click on John's card, and this tells you who John is, so that as I'm writing, I can make it match, because your readers will find you out if it doesn't match. They'll say, why did John have blue eyes in the first chapter and brown eyes in the 10th chapter? And so this gives a description that he's slightly pudgy. He's approachable, friendly demeanor. He has dark eyes, mischievous glint, his wild hair, unruly curls. And so there's my John. So wow. I have a visual of who John is. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yes.
And so then here's where then I start the book. And so here is my prologue. Where I drop the crime or whatever to get everybody's attention. And then here I've got chapter 1, 2, 3, and I'm just now partway through chapter 4. But because then I started writing about, you know, when you write and then you go, oh, and then the next morning when she got up, and I thought, you know what, I got to keep track of what morning I'm on, because I can't say that the person's been missing for 3 days. And in another chapter, the person's been missing for 6 months. I have to make all of that fit. And so I just put, doesn't matter what Friday. So my story starts on a Friday. So then on a Saturday, when it says the next morning, I know that I'm talking about Saturday. And so then I have them, because there's a girl missing. So I have them going to the police. Well, I had to scoot my police card over to Monday, because they wouldn't go to the police necessarily on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
To talk to the commissioner, because the commissioner probably isn't there on a Sunday. And so they wanted to talk to the commissioner. So I had to scoot that card and see, watch this. When you click on a card, you can move it wherever you want it to be.
Oh.
See? Is that helpful?
That's cool.
And it's free. Yes. I'm in the free. And then the book's called The Scarf. I'm in a free, and here's my cover picture so far. And so I'm just in the free version. And so then see, as that goes on, see, I've scooted where Emily meets Alex and doesn't like him. And Emily and Alex are forced to spend time together. I wasn't ready for that yet in chapter 4. So I took those cards and scooted them to 5. Well, then the crime investigation has complications. Well, I may not be ready to do that in chapter 4. So I can take this and scoot it over to chapter 5. So I can scoot it over to chapter 6. See, I can just put it right there. It's wherever I want to drop it.
Nice.
Isn't that handy?
Very.
So anyway, it's kind of like having a big bulletin board up where you're plotting out what you're doing, but you're doing it on a software program instead. And so as long as I've got my computer with me, I can work on this in Florida when I'm in Florida, because it's like I get to carry my board with me.
That is cool, because I see where that can also be used as a, calendar.
It can. Yeah. And here's how I first learned to use it, is when I volunteered to help Chris Borja with his magazine. And he said, I have to make you a part of the team on our Trello board. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he said, do you have 10 minutes on a Zoom call? And I said, okay. So he showed me the Trello board for the magazine. And what he did is he had, for that edition, he had, a board for each edition. So for the spring edition, he had a board. And on the board, he had, here is the projected articles that we'd like to have. Here are the people that have already been contacted. Here are the articles that have already come back in. And here is how the final magazine is going to look when we lay it out. And so you pick up a card from the projected, and then you move it over here and say, okay, now I have contacted that person. Then they would respond. You pick up that card and go, okay, here is their article they submitted. And then when you're ready to lay it out in the magazine, you pick up that card and go, here it is in the final magazine before it goes to print. And so all of his contributors and editors are all a team member. You can add team members by email on that Trello board, so that the editors can get in and see who's contacted people, who's submitted their article already. And so it's really meant for a team to work together.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of how he's using it, like a calendar, because each board or each list has a deadline. You know, contacting everybody was by a certain date, and then everybody's articles had to be in by a certain date. And then everybody, then the editor had to upload it and, you know, manipulate the article to fit the magazine by a certain date. And then it finally goes over to the final column that says this article was ready to go to print. And so, and my job was to just contact folks. And so I took what was projected, like, here's the people, here's the topics we want to have articles about. And I found people that could write to that art, to that topic. And then once I submitted an email, I sent them an email inviting them. I moved it to the next column that they have been invited to submit an article. So that way, when the editors tapped in, they saw that I had already contacted like 10 people to ask them to submit an article. So nobody else had to do that, see, because, and I even showed what topics I had asked for. And so now their editors could look at that and go, oh, well, we've got 10, probably 5 out of 10 will come in, usually about 50%. And sure enough, 5 of my 10 submitted. And when they did, then I picked it up and moved it over and said, the articles have, these 5 articles have been received. And so now I'm done. See, my job was to just invite, get the article and put it in the right column. So now his editors will come in and edit those articles to get them ready to print. So anyhow, you see how you can use it for all kinds of projects. So I don't know if that's helpful for everyone on the call, but hopefully
it is.
That's a tool that you can use no matter what you're doing.
And thank Carmella,
Carmella, it'd be a great tool for you when you're putting together a program or a project and you've got a team working together. They can all go in on your Trello board and see what piece of the project is completed or not completed yet. It might help you get organized in some of those projects. And Diane, I see you may be using it if you've got a downline in your business,
right,
where
right.
you can coordinate
yeah.
different projects.
Mm-hmm. This is a great tool. Thank you for sharing, Kathy.
Yeah, that is, it's a great tool for writing. As soon as I saw the magazine, I went, oh, I can plot out my book. It was like this huge aha moment for me.
Your brain almost exploded outside of the screen.
Yeah. Now, Debbie, are you writing just in a Word document right now?
Yes.
Okay. You can scoot each chapter. See, I've got each chapter in a list on my Trello board. The whole board is my book, The Scarf. Then each chapter has my list where I have the cards. You could actually scoot your whole first chapter onto a list. And the reason I like to do the chapters independently like that on Trello is if I later down the book, and Debbie, you'll get this, later down the book as you're writing, you're thinking, oh, I should have mentioned that back in chapter one. Well, now you don't have to go all the way back through all of your documents that you're writing in a Word document to find that spot. You can just go to your Trello board and scoot that card over there. Say, oh, I don't want to forget to put that in chapter one, you know, put in this little scene. And you can just make a card and then scoot that card over to chapter one so that you don't forget to come back and write that into that chapter.
Oh, that's a good point. Because how many times do you do that?
A lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to have to go back and rewrite a whole chapter. So now you can just scoot it over there. Now you're just reworking that one chapter. You're not pushing that whole book once you get to like chapter 13 or something, you know. You're just right. manipulating that one chapter.
That's a great idea.
Cool. Yeah,
this would be great for goal setting too, Kathy. You know, as we're planning out the second half of this year, you know, as we're listing goals, then we can start to work on those and then shift them along as we're meeting deadlines or attaining, you know, closer, you know, those action steps. As we're clicking those off, we can keep moving it forward.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a perfect way to use it. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on the free version, you can have more than one board. I don't know how many, you'll have to check, but I'm on the free version and I've got Chris's magazine board still there. And now I've got his winter board of the magazine, his spring board, and my book board. So I've got three boards on mine, and I don't know how many you can have on the free version, but I have three.
I have to look at that.
Yep. I like it. All right. So this has been a wonderful call. Thank you so much for everybody being on today. I love it. I love that you all were here. And so kudos to you, Carmela. I hope you get better soon. You sound like you're over the hump there and you're feeling better. So good for you. Diane, so good about your business. Some products that are coming out. That's a wonderful thing. I can't wait to see what you're doing. I follow you on Facebook. I see you all the time posting. Yes. And Debbie, of course, you know, you and I go back a lot of years, and I just love the idea that you're finally writing your book. She's talked about writing this legacy book for a while. So this is huge for her. I'm glad she's doing it. And, but yeah, life gets in the way. Yeah. You get busy, and yeah, we're all wearing a lot of different hats. So thank you, gals, for being on today. So have a wonderful weekend. Carmela, don't drive yourself to death there back running up and down the highway on Father's Day. Yeah. So be safe out there on the roads and have a wonderful holiday weekend with Father's Day coming up, and enjoy family and all that good stuff. And we'll see everyone next month.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Hey, bye, everyone.
Bye.